Well, hello and welcome to Take a Sip with Rob and Tanya. I'm Rob.
I'm Tanya.
And you may know us most from social media. Who would they know you as?
They would know me as Renko Beauty.
On what platforms, pray tell?
On all the platforms. I'm on all the stuff.
Okay.
What do they know you as,
Mister? Well, they probably
Mister?
Know me as not Stanley Tucci from TikTok.
God, a bunch of people are going to be disappointed.
I know. But it has literally been not Stanley Tucci since it was a thing. If you're still confused, I really don't know what to say. I think that's on you.
He is really not Stanley Tucci. I don't know what else we can do to prove that. But hey, you know, if that gives us more people listening to our podcast, I'm all for it.
If you need me to be Stanley Tucci to listen to this podcast.
We might need you to be Stanley Tucci.
Well,
I'm okay with that.
Start cooking something immediately. So we're here for the initiation of our podcast. We've been talking about this forever.
Yes.
And here we are. But we both agreed we don't like long introductions.
This is probably the longest this introduction will be. All the other ones will be Take a Sip with Rob and Tanya. Hi.
Yeah, really. Because you know what? I mean, we don't have a particular agenda. We have a few things we talked about bringing to the table today. But mostly it's just introductory. We're still trying to figure this out.
Yeah, let's dive in. What are we talking about today?
So, you know, I mean, I think we were talking about conceptualizing this. What is this? Is it a relationship podcast? I think it kind of is because it's basically based on our relationship, right?
Yeah, I think it's mostly going to be a relationship podcast.
So to be clear, though, I mean, we are not relationship experts.
No.
Now, we've both been through some stuff.
Yeah, I've been through some things, so I think that makes me an expert.
It does. No, you're an expert on your experience in relationships.
That's right.
I'm an expert on my experience.
Yeah.
It's somehow we ended up here.
Yep.
And I don't know that either of us... Well, you had more of a grand plan than I did.
A grand plan?
Well, you made a list.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't even wanting to be with anybody, frankly.
But to be fair, it was a list like... I was testing God and the universe.
Right.
I didn't really think he was going to be like, ooh, I got somebody for you.
And if you know us from TikTok, you might have heard some of this, but what was your list? How did you approach it? Why did you do it? And what were some of the things that you wrote on your list? And what space were you in when you did it?
So Rob and I met online. The space I was in when I made my, because I had never made a list before. So my space was basically like, this person doesn't exist. Let me write it down and just prove it. That's the space I was in.
Okay. So you were not in a relationship with somebody.
Not in a relationship.
You were long divorced.
Yep.
Because you got divorced when your daughter was little.
Yep. Yeah.
And you were just putting out into the universe, if I could find this mythical man, then I would be a happy camper.
Yeah. Yeah. I could make it work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were some of the things that were on that list?
I mean, I think like a lot of them were things that women put on their list, like, you know, respect me, you know, they're romantic, they're, you know, actually likes me. But I made my list more like super personal, like likes buying me gifts. I like receiving gifts. I want them to like giving me gifts. I don't want to have to train anybody and tell them like, ooh, you know, send me flowers on Valentine's Day, like stuff like that. Like, I don't want to have to like train a dude. I want him to know, open my car door. I was open to dating a white guy, but I wanted him to already know about black issues, like from wearing a head rag to bed to knowing who Martin Luther King is. Like, it's just, you know, like it was like a broad range. And so it's just stuff like that, you know, like my kid, you know, just things like that.
So knowing that that was the gist of the list, how did the universe do?
So far, pretty good.
So far. When you say so far, like, what are we, 3-6 months into this?
He's wanting me to basically say the universe got it right. He's amazing. And you are amazing. You are amazing. I will give you your flowers right now. You are amazing.
I don't know about that. But I think ultimately, and I think this is in part the reason that we're here too, is that whatever this is, and I'm very happy in this space.
It works.
I think you're pretty happy in this space. But I think we truly recognize too, because we've both been through a bunch of relationships, we have something that neither of us had ever seen before.
Right. If I'd have known this is what it was supposed to be like, that would have saved me a lot of headache and heartache.
It would have made it easy to sniff out a lot of those other relationships for not being the one. Because this, and I think that's the main thing we both agreed on, whether or not it was love at first sight or whatever, which I don't think that was quite it.
Right.
We knew this was different, unique, better for each of us pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I definitely don't know if it was love at first sight, but it was definitely like, this is different at first sight.
I do want to share. So yeah, that was the space you were in. I was in a space of not having been divorced very long, not having been separated very long, but I had about a year of dating.
Having your moment.
I was. It's a word we coined on a live a while back.
Yeah.
So I was, it was, you know, some light relationships for the most part. Just to casually date, which I had never really tried to do, but yeah, we did coin that being my homeit.
Yeah,
you know, it's just when you're a hoe, but you know, just for a minute.
Yeah,
just we had our coffee meet and greet date. We met through a really wonderful dating app that I think a lot of people should.
You're trying to get them to sponsor us. Because all of this is the first time I've heard him refer to that as a wonderful dating app.
Delightful dating app where all of your dreams can come true. Or you might just meet somebody to hang out with for a few hours. But the app is called Plenty of Fish. I think it's still around. Anyway, point being, we set up a coffee date to meet on a Friday afternoon about 4:30 on December 12th of 2014.
Yep.
And I got there first, and then I was in the Starbucks waiting for you to arrive. I saw your car pull in.
And I was actually going to stand him up.
She sure was.
Because... as I was getting ready for that coffee date, he is sending me text messages, and they're like very cute text messages of him and his daughter. And he's being really silly, like just a normal dad would be with his girls.
Which usually would be a positive for a lot of women.
That was not a positive for me.
He loves his daughters. That sounds like him. That's
oh,
so sweet.
No. I saw that and went, ew, he's an involved dad. He's not like I have him on, you know, every other Saturday. Dad, I mean, I'm like, he's an involved dad. Gross. But which is so stupid to think of, because who would even want to date somebody who wasn't an involved dad? Who wants to date a deadbeat dad? Nobody.
Tanya 2012.
But I thought I did. Yeah. Yeah. But I just, and then he just kept sending super sweet text messages after that. Like, oh, I can't wait till you get here. I got here early, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot stand him up. That's going to be so mean.
Look, to the young dudes, the persistence is your friend.
Get you somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, being 6'2", I find has worked out. If you can work that out, that's highly recommended.
So that is how we met.
So, but I want to throw in this last part. Yeah. So when I get to Starbucks, I see you walking in. I literally say to myself, and I've said this many times because it's true. I see her walking in, and like she's way prettier than the one photo she had on her Plenty of Fish profile. But I thought to myself, oh good Lord, if she's not a complete bitch, I may be in trouble because this one, she's pretty hot.
And turns out I wasn't a complete bitch.
Not yet. You know, 11 and a half years later, I don't know if I've seen your true colors yet, but she was not a complete bitch. And
that's
really,
right.
We had that on Friday afternoon. We did our real date on Sunday night.
The real date Sunday. Well, we didn't do the real date on Saturday because he had his kids. Ugh.
Like a jerk. Taking care of your children. Hanging out with your middle-aged
school with your
girls.
Kids, you loser.
Whew. Sometimes, you know, those obligations get in the way, like they say in that song. You know, I got my obligations.
Yeah. But yeah, no, after the real date on Sunday, I think it was pretty evident to both of us that, like, okay, yeah, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah. No, it was just, and it was somebody, it was, obviously I was very attracted to her, but it was the ease of communication. We had a lot in common. And it flowed so easily and so cool and so fun. And then, yeah, dudes, I mean, y'all understand too. When all of that comes in this beautiful package where you're like, wow, she's really hot. It moves things along pretty quickly. Not that
you
you couldn't get there if you were somehow less hot. But that
might take longer.
Well, it might be a little more uncertain. I mean, maybe she seems great, but you know, it's a difference between trying to convince yourself. Like if you were, let's say, less attractive.
Yeah.
I would spend more time trying to convince myself, like, she really is cool. And, you know, she's kind of cute, whatever.
Oh, okay.
So you're like, you try to just, like, remind yourself, like, this chick is cool.
Yeah.
When you are already super hot, it's like, I could be blinded. I could be blinded by the beauty, and maybe she's not as cool, but I'm just going to assume that my, what do you call it? My intuition and my first impressions were 100% accurate, because also, you know, just you want to win that one.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you won.
Me too. I feel like I'm winning every day.
What are we talking about?
All right. So let's get into this article. Again, we're not relationship experts. There's an article which you can look at on MSNBC.com. And the article is called Relationship Issues That Can't Be Fixed, According to a Licensed Counselor.
That can't be fixed.
Cannot be fixed. Okay. Introductory stuff. So
okay.
The first topic, something that can't be fixed, it says neglecting small gestures.
Small gestures. Says, like, give me an example.
Well, it says one of the telltale signs that your relationship is on the rocks is when your interactions lose the intimate or attentive quality and begin to take on a roommate dynamic.
Oh, for sure.
Over time, you'll stop engaging in the little effects of affection, little acts of affection, like compliments, flirting, touching, or spending quality time with each other, as if you've become roommates, merely crossing paths in the hallway.
So it's saying like that those things diminish over time, and then it just becomes a roommate relationship.
Yeah.
I think that can end a marriage.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's important. I think this is actually somewhat analogous.
So these are things you can't come back from, right?
Yeah, I think. And I guess the implication, especially for this one, because it seems like a gradual thing, that it would be like somehow over time, at some point, you may get to a point of no return, right?
I think so. So I don't think you get there like when you first start seeing signs of that, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think if you really do love each other, I think one of you is going to... hopefully the person that's feeling neglected, which most oftentimes that's the female, right? Mm-hmm. And not to say you dudes can't feel that way, but more than not, it's the female, right? It's us that's feeling that way.
I think you're probably more likely to name it.
He about to put me on blast.
No.
Okay.
No, so I think, you know, women are, and again, we're dealing with stereotypes and generalities, right?
Yeah.
Women are more in tune with their emotions. I think y'all might be more inclined to name it. Oh, he's less attentive. Oh, he used to compliment me more.
Yeah.
And because I remember what it used to be like, and now I'm not getting that.
Yeah.
That makes me sad, or I feel more distant, or whatever. I think guys can feel the same stuff. We'll just be like, it just ain't like it used to be.
As a female, I would say I do think that it could. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think there could be a point where you can't come back from that.
Right.
But I also think if it's not addressed, you can't come back from it, right?
Right.
Because I always feel like, and we've talked about this, I always feel like if you've had that love at one time, mm-hmm. I always feel like there's a possibility of getting back there.
Yeah.
So I think maybe if there are conversations around it, maybe you could come back from it. But if there are conversations around it and then there's no improvement, mm-hmm. then I would say it can lead to the demise of a marriage.
Yeah,
right?
And so one of the last lines in this section from the article says that, you know, when you get kind of into this roommate where you're merely crossing paths situation, it says this creates a significant gap, making it feel too daunting to mend things, or perhaps you've already emotionally moved on.
Yep.
But it definitely seems like a progression, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
for
the
sure.
That's not going to be day one of,
no.
Ooh, we're moving into a less intimate space.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a progression there. But I'm curious, is that something that would be a thing for dudes, for y'all, for you?
Well, definitely. I mean, I think...
Obviously, you can't speak for all dudes, but you are a dude, so I'm asking you.
I have been for a while.
Yeah.
And...
is that something that you think could, like, end for you?
Well, I mean, I think... It's probably like degrees, right? Because I think, you know, while I may not be as focused on hearing from you, like, oh my God, you look so handsome today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where that's, if I hear that, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't live in that space, I think, for a couple reasons. Number one, that's not, like, and again, this is where we get into the part where we're not experts here, but, you know,
right.
I know there's those things out there about your love language, what you want from your partner in return.
Right.
You know, one of the things we've talked about over time, like, I like touch.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not so much a gift guy.
Right.
But if I can get touch, if I can get, you know, some closeness, I don't remember what all the love languages are, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think there's...
Now, one of yours is definitely physical touch.
Right. And get your mind out of the gutter, guys. It's not all that. It's just like a hand, you know, grabbing my hand. rubbing my leg while I'm watching TV.
You know your people.
I do. Well, yeah, we all like physical touch, moron. That's not that kind of party. So that's not me not getting that sort of affirmation. It might take longer for me to get to a space of, hey, you know, it's like George on Aaron Brockovich, like, we wait for you to say I look nice for 6 months, and that's why I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know? I think it becomes it's so absent and so pronounced that we become like, hey, she still actually say nice things to me.
Well, and especially I think the important part being you've already addressed this with your spouse.
Right.
Right. So I don't think it's fair to just be like, oh, I'm leaving. Yeah, do what you used to do, blah, blah, blah. But if you're not voicing that to somebody.
Sure.
I mean, like, yeah, they're not doing it, but maybe they don't know that that's even something that you miss.
Right, right. No, so, for sure. No, I think it's, and again, this presents thing is kind of a binary, right?
Yeah.
Either you have this closeness or you don't, and it's a huge problem.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of time that passes in there where people have the chance to say, hey, I'm feeling like we're a little disconnected.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, we used to have more pleasantries.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
More compliments. But I thought I was starting to say, I think this is like what we had heard about a few months back. I think they called the bird test, right?
To me, this
is pretty analogous.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for those of you who don't know, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can check this out on a lot of social media. TikTok, it was going around 3, 4, 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, some psychologist was doing a relationship study. And he came up with this, what I guess they ultimately called the bird test. And it basically goes like this. You're sitting there at lunch. Your partner notices these birds outside, or a bird outside, and mm-hmm. says something to you about, oh, look how pretty those birds are outside. Mm-hmm. And it's trivial, but it seems important to them. The couple with the partner then picks up to actually invest and take just a moment to look out and say, wow, those birds are pretty. That's like a huge positive. There's some percentage, like if you'll do that, I don't know, you're 97% likely or 95% likely to have a positive relationship or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're more dismissive and you're like, the person says, ooh, look at those birds outside, and you're like, oh yeah, cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just basically comes down to being heard, right?
Right.
By your partner.
Right. And for you, if it's important to you, it's important to me.
Yeah.
And we connect on that sort of a level. I don't have to wake up thinking, really want to see some pretty birds today.
Right,
it's important to you, if I just take that little bit of...
Well, I think the bird thing just also emphasizes that it doesn't matter how stupid and small it is, right?
Yeah, right.
Not that anybody who loves birds thinks... I don't think birds are stupid. but just, like, basically, it doesn't matter how small and insignificant it might be to you.
Right.
Right? But to me, if I'm saying, like, if I'm talking to you about it, obviously it's something that's important to me.
Right.
And if you just act like you don't care or you're dismissive, that's not good, right? Like, obviously, anybody's going to feel slighted you know, like their opinions or what they're interested in doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's not a good feeling for anybody.
So the first one. All right. So the second topic where relationship issues that can't be fixed according to a licensed counselor, the second one is repetitive arguments.
Well, I mean, if you arguing all the time, one of you is going to get tired of that.
Yeah. Let me read this first paragraph just to explain it, so we're on the same page. It says, quarrels and disagreements are commonplace in any relationship. When you find yourself going in circles and bickering over the same issue, this is when things take a turn for the worse. Frequent unresolved arguments where the same issue resurfaces without any resolution or repair lead to deep-seated resentment, contempt, and emotional exhaustion. Says Gunther shares in an exclusive interview. This means even minor disagreements trigger a sense of here we go again, followed by shutdown and withdrawal.
I almost feel like that kind of leads into you start not liking your spouse, right?
Yeah.
Because I think when you start having so many little arguments, just you every day you arguing or disagreeing about something, something's wrong.
Definitely.
Like, one of you, like, probably, like, and this happens a lot, doesn't like the other person. Mm-hmm. When you don't like somebody, like, the least little thing they say to you makes you want to, start arguing, right?
Right.
So that, like, tells me that, like, one of you don't like each other. or has have it is it's gotten to that point where right. you're arguing over the least little everything don't require an argument.
No, and I totally agree with you. But I think more specifically, if you're continually arguing and it's the same shit, it's the same argument we had 3 days ago about the same thing because we didn't get any resolution on that.
Yeah,
that's not that sounds good. Awful.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not a good place to be. Nobody. I mean, and I think it goes back to that saying, right? Like, ooh, that we heard, marriage is hard. Marriage is hard work, right? Which I totally disagree with. It's this, like, you know, I think whoever, like, thought that you're supposed to have all kinds of arguments all times of the day with your spouse, and that's working on your marriage, man, do they have, like, a really delusional version of marriage or and maybe and honestly the maybe that's what they that's all they've seen mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. like a lot of times it's you're conditioned to what you've seen right. and kind of what you've grown up with right. and if you've seen your parents argue all the time and then they're all like lovey-dovey and then they argue all the time and then they're lovey-dovey maybe you think that is a good marriage
right or it's acceptable it's something to aspire to
yeah
even like significant arguments a couple times a week.
Yeah, that's just, that's too much. But I think something's wrong.
Right, I agree. But I think, too, if it is a repetitive argument, like it's the one you keep coming back to, that may even be a bigger problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Because either somebody's not compromising, that's a, what do you call it, like a schism in the relationship.
Yeah,
you got to figure out a way to get on the same page. And like to your point before, yeah, if you had a loving, positive basis to your relationship, it seems like it would be easier to get back to.
Yeah.
You know, and not to give up too much, but one of the things we bonded over when we were dating was that our first marriages were inherently problematic.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that was because of the partner we chose / got stuck with, chose to be with. Or maybe it was just a function of how we felt about the other person.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not here to dog our exes. But I think we recognize, too, that in our prior relationships, and tell me if I'm saying anything wrong, there was nothing to get back to because the foundation we had, not that in your situation, not that he was a bad person.
No.
But it was not your person.
It just was not my person. Right. Exactly.
Well, and we've had friends and relatives who are getting these relationships and, you know, within the first 6 months, they're arguing all the time. Some of them have even gone to couples counseling early in the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And while, you know, far be it from us to tell people what they should or shouldn't do or who they should or shouldn't be with, but at the same time, if you're having those sorts of meaningful issues and fights and disagreements, like right from the jump, and to the point where you feel like you need couples counseling, like that's supposed to be the easy time.
Yeah. It's my thing to people who are dating, or it's always like, if you need couples counseling while you're dating, I don't know, not to sound too judgy, but I feel like something's wrong there. Yeah. Because that's supposed to, your dating is the fun time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know, this marriage thing, which is freaking work every day.
But I just feel like if you're in the stages of dating, year one, I would even go to say year two. Like those are your fun times of really like getting to know each other and bonding and getting closer. And if you feel like that you need counseling through that, like individual counseling, I recommend for everybody. I think it's amazing. But if you're saying you need couple counseling during your fun dating time, something might be wrong.
Yeah. The third thing that a relationship issue that can't be fixed according to a licensed counselor is desire for independence. Hmm. So it says, occasionally a partner craves freedom outside the relationship. This often isn't about the partner's inadequacy, but about a personal journey of self-discovery. Therefore, the need for independence within a relationship is both normal and healthy to a certain degree. It's when one partner's desire for freedom leads to that individual feeling stifled or stuck that it inevitably takes its toll on the relationship.
I would say I would agree with that, too. I think everybody needs to find their own, like, individuality of, like, who they are, right? I remember hearing a long time ago, and this one, the girl was like, she was like, I don't know who I am without my husband.
Mm.
And I was like, that's really sad. You don't know who you are without your husband. Right. Like, basically, so she was like, my husband is my whole life.
Mm.
And I thought, oh my God, I don't want to be her. Because I don't want my whole life to be dependent on this other person, whether that's right physically, emotionally, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like everybody needs to be their own person, mm-hmm. in some way, or have your own stuff that you like, right? You can't just be totally tethered to this person. Like, your well-being of life can't be tethered to this person.
Well, and I mean, I don't want to say I've struggled with this, but I mean, this is something I recognize. Like, the reality is, I'm pretty happy just hanging out with you.
And I know, but I think that's different.
Yeah.
Because you have your own, like, life. You have your work. You know, you have your set of friends. You have your stuff that you like. You have your little basketball stuff that you like. Your little league stuff.
That's my fantasy football league. Everybody been in the same league since 1995, so it's kind of remarkable. So I'll take my flowers now.
Yeah. I'm not trying to downgrade.
No, it sounded like an enormous compliment. Thank you. I feel so much better about myself now.
I wasn't trying to downgrade that, but I knew I wasn't going to say it right. That was like your little league stuff.
I don't really think you tried. I mean, I think that's, I don't mind you getting it wrong. Like, basically, it was like, I don't mind when you play with your little friends.
Okay, be quiet. This was a compliment to you.
No, please proceed.
Like, I'm basically saying that.
Bring on the compliments, my bad.
Basically saying that you have your stuff that you like and you have your interest outside of me and you that you have, right? And I have mine too. And I think it's amazing, like, that we both, neither one of us like to do stuff without the other one. And I think that's an amazing place to live, right? If you're there, I think that's awesome. But I also think that you need to be your own individual people and have things that interest you outside of both of you. And I don't think either one of us live in the space of, oh my God, I have nothing if you're not here. You know what I mean?
I have nothing.
I knew it was going to do that.
Nothing.
I'm just saying, I personally don't think that's a healthy place to be in.
Oh no. Well, yeah, you lose yourself to your person. That's not good.
Yeah. So I think it's good to live in the space of, I don't want to do stuff without my husband, but I also think it's good to have, like, your own niche or whatever little things that you like too.
Well, I think the other thing is, because while I recognize this as a potential issue, I think the fact that we met in our mid-40s, I think it's less likely that we go in so hard and we give up everything we had done in the prior 44 years.
True. Like
friendships.
True.
And hobbies.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, all that.
Yeah.
Because there's enough overlap where we do have, you know, similar things we like to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had shit, you know, 40-year friendships, some of us at that point.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like,
so, I mean,
because I met some cute girl.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe if I need to, I mean, let me know.
Depends on how cute is she.
I'm not throwing down a flag now. I'm just saying, convince me.
I mean, but I think it's okay to have interest in friends that are your own, mm-hmm. right? I agree with that statement. Mm-hmm. Gotta live life, a life that, like, you like for you. And then I have to live a life that I like for me. Like, that's hella pressure on somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have your own stuff. And I'm like, oh, well, shoot, you know. Like, I can't even, like, do anything without you because mm-hmm. you don't have your own. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure to put on your person.
Yeah. You got it.
And I think I would assume they can grow tired of that, right?
Right.
What do you think?
Like, no, I mean, I think that's kind of where I fall. That I think that is a real topic for some people.
Okay.
But I think, I just feel like that hasn't even, like, come close to being an issue for us.
Yeah.
Because I think we both came in with our own set of friends, like you said, our own set of friends, our own set of hobbies.
But, and like you said, like, that could have a lot to do with us meeting later in life, right? Because we already had, like, a bunch of stuff kind of, set up on our own, right?
Yeah. If we met 20 years earlier, we were still kind of finding our way and, you know, developing our own routine and interests, you know, as adults.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely to be a thing, but yeah.
But I would say anybody who, like, younger, like, I think it's really important to have your own thing.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
for sure. And don't give that up. I mean, that's, you know... So maybe, I'll just throw this out, like, maybe you like to paint, You're not a great painter. Like, you have no misconceptions about, I'm going to, like, one day
be the next Picasso.
Be in an art gallery, right? It's just something I enjoy to do. So, you know, similar, a little different, but similar.
Yeah. That,
you know,
of course, I'm
very comfortable being an amateur musician.
Yeah.
So, like, if for some reason that became a thing where you're like, really, you know, that music thing, you know, I really need you to spend more time with me. And I really like it if you would do that less or give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would not be a happy day for me.
Yeah. Like, I think everybody needs to have something that they enjoy just for them, whatever that is.
Right.
You need to have your own individuality. So.
Right. All right. Next.
Yep.
Relationship issues that can't be fixed according to a relationship counselor. Well, this one might be a problem.
Okay.
Falling for someone else.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the first paragraph. I think we know what this means.
Okay.
Developing feelings for someone outside the current relationship typically signals unmet emotional needs.
Mm.
Perceived as a significant betrayal, this erodes trust and breaks emotional connections.
Mm.
I'm assuming you agree with all of that.
I agree with all of that. I have a lot of experience with this topic. As someone who has been cheated on in previous relationships, I feel like I'm an expert on this topic. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I will also say, if that happens in a marriage, say the guy cheated on the female. I feel like there has got to be other issues in there that made him go there. Now, I say that because of the situation I'm in right now. I have guys come on to me all the time.
No doubt.
And I don't say that to brag. I say that to say that most of the time, and my friends will even tell you, most of the times I don't even notice it. I don't even fucking notice it. Because in my head, I'm not doing anything to fuck up what I have. So a lot of times my vision isn't even focused on somebody even like trying to flirt with me. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even in that space. I mean, I don't even recognize, my friends will tell you, she didn't even know when somebody's coming on to her.
Well, no, and that's, I haven't seen it, because if I'm there, it's a different dynamic. But you know, I've heard it from you, but also from your friends that, you know, you're out somewhere and, you know, these guys engage you in conversation and like they're clearly coming on to you, even if it's a respectful approach.
Yeah.
You know, that the word on the street is that you're just so oblivious, like you're not to the point where you're not looking for it so hard that you're not even aware when it happens.
I'm not even aware when it happens because that's not what I'm focused on. I'm probably thinking of how much time I'm going to be out with my friends so I can hurry up and get home. Honestly, like me, like that's like how I'm focused. Now, I know guys are different, right? You guys are wired differently. So, but I also think if you're lacking a lot of stuff at home and vice versa, I will put myself in that as well. You know, you don't give me enough compliments, right? Because women love that, right? The first guy that's going to tell me I'm beautiful when I go out, I'm probably going to pay a little extra attention to him because that's something I'm not getting at home and that's something that I need. Not a lot of women need. I recognize that all women don't need this. I'm not putting all women in this category. But this is definitely something that I need.
Okay. So let me clarify just for the record, because people, I'm hopeful, are listening. I just want to make sure I heard it right. Are you saying that that's a thing for you because you don't get told enough that you're pretty?
Well, I'm saying that I'm not saying that's a thing for me.
Okay.
I get told a lot that I'm pretty.
You do, by who?
But I'm saying by you, fool. Oh,
okay.
Oh my God.
Because what it came out like was, well, since I don't get told a lot. Oh, that my God. I'm pretty,
no. Okay. I don't think. Okay. Sorry. That is not what I meant.
Internet,
that's not what I meant.
Please listen.
I'm saying, for instance, if I didn't get told that.
If.
Oh my God, he really wants to make this for the record, right?
This is the internet, and we need to make
sure. I'm just saying, if that's something that I didn't get a lot from you, the first person that gives that to me, I'm probably going to pay a little extra attention to them. So, anyway, I'm saying if I cheat, it's not your fault because of that. That's not what I'm saying either.
No, I hear you. But and I don't want to undermine anything you're saying.
Okay.
This is not just cheating. This is falling for someone else.
Yeah. But that's how you fall for somebody else. Like, you got to have some initial, like, reaction and attraction, right?
Sure.
Like, there. And so they start, you start talking, and then you, you know.
I think, for instance.
You don't fall for somebody just by a look.
No.
It takes some time.
But I think those are two different animals, right? Because you could, you know, like, I'll just go back to The Hangover, since we both like that movie. You know, the girl who met the bartender on the cruise and slept with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can assume that was a hookup.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's one category of deception, dishonesty, all that stuff.
Okay.
Falling for somebody, number one, doesn't have to include sex, right? You could fall
right.
for the, your coworker
no, absolutely.
At work.
Absolutely.
Who you've never done
absolutely.
Anything with, right?
But you have to start some kind of like talking and
sure.
closeness
sure.
in order to even get there.
For sure.
So I'm saying, like, a lot of times if women are lacking something,
mm-hmm.
the least little thing like that you a guy can say can
right.
have her attention, and then boom,
right?
You know,
before you know
now lunch after lunch. Now I done failed for you because you done said all the right stuff at lunch that my husband don't never say.
Yeah,
you know, that's unfortunate.
And then you're going home, and you're like, you know, I had lunch with Tony at work today. He's so nice.
And then you're like, okay, that sounds nice.
Well,
that sounds good.
It depends how engaged you are. I'm like. Well, that's good, babe. All right, so we're going to watch the Golden Bachelor show?
Anyway, I mean, that's just a yeah. small example as far as women. But for men, like, what could that be? Like, how are y'all, like, falling for somebody? Like, is it... Because I feel like all of this derives from you not getting something at home.
Well, I think, yeah. So, again, I do want to distinguish this from just, you know, something physical, like the bartender on the cruise ship situation. Like, to actually fall for something... I believe there has to... be a perceived deficiency on my end. We're not
yeah.
close enough.
Right. That's my point. Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to have two wives.
Right.
This
is not a lot of work.
I love you dearly. And I'm so happy you're my wife. I don't care to have two of you.
I don't want you to have two of me. I wouldn't wish that on nobody. I wouldn't
that's
wish that on my worst enemy.
What is that? Is that the Sixth Amendment? Cruel and unusual punishment? But no, they're both pretty.
You handle
I
one
know,
just fine, babe.
I know they're both pretty. But they both got to be wise.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah. Anywho. No, I do think that, and that's why I think, you know, not to blow too much smoke, but because
mm-hmm.
I'm so content in just the you being my partner part of it, which is not about physical or, you know, all
mm-hmm.
the other stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know, intimate stuff. It's just
mm-hmm.
about having you by my side to walk through each day together.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's no one I would rather have in that space, and you exceed my expectations and what I deserve every day. The idea of somehow falling for somebody at that level is so foreign to me that I understand it's a thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there would have to be a marked deficiency. That, like you said, was getting filled by somebody in that regard.
Yeah, I feel like this even starts because something is lacking that somebody needs at home,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really do feel like it's from that.
Mm-hmm. All right, on to the last one.
Yep, all ready.
Right, the last relationship issue that can't be fixed, according to a licensed counselor,
mm-hmm.
is what they call growing apart.
I totally agree with that.
So, first paragraph says, it's
mm-hmm.
common for relationships to change over time, but why does this happen? According to this guy who spoke exclusively, blah, blah. Sometimes partners simply grow apart, leading to unexpected shifts in the relationship, he added. As individuals evolve, their interests, beliefs, or needs might diverge,
mm-hmm.
resulting in incompatibility. Often this isn't anyone's fault and can be unpredictable,
mm-hmm.
but it may mean there's not enough left to hold the relationship together.
For me, I think this happens when you get married super young.
I agree. That seems like, or like a, you know, 3 month dating, then a wedding, right? You don't know each other at all at any age.
Yeah, I think you don't know each other well, but I also think it's like very likely to happen if you get married really, really young.
I agree. Because you're more likely to grow. Now, we should all be seeking growth in general.
For sure.
But I think the idea that we haven't grown into the adult we're going to be, if you're not, if you're, I would even say under 30.
Yeah.
you're probably not the adult that you're going to be.
No.
In some regards.
I mean, because we can both sit here and look back. Are we the same people we were when we were 22, 23, 24, 25? I hope not.
Nope.
I hope not.
No, I'm pretty confident.
I was a mean bitch during those ages. I hope. You're a mean bitch too, babe. I hope I'm not like that now. Because like then, like I was just young and stupid and still working through a lot of issues and stuff. So yeah, of course I'm not the same person. So I feel like that can easily happen when you get married way too early, right?
Yeah. Well, again, I agree. I think the age thing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're under 30, especially under 25, the likelihood seems higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's us sitting here in our mid-50s, maybe being a little judgmental. But
of
it's
course,
judgmental
yeah.
based on hopefully some wisdom and experience.
Yeah.
Because we both got married in our 20s.
Yeah.
We both got married in our 40s.
Yeah.
So, but I do think there's also a likelihood for that. I don't know if I'd call it growing apart, but it might be just be...
So then how do people grow apart when they're... at our seasoned ages like we are? So is like, because I've heard people in their 40s and their 50s like, we just grew apart.
I agree. I think, and again, I'm sure there's 100 situations that would prove me to be wrong. But as a generalization, I think growing apart, if you meet like we did, we were both 44
mm-hmm.
when we met.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that, you know, if this hits the crapper at some point for whatever reason...
Mm-hmm.
I think the likelihood that we describe it as we grew apart seems really unlikely to me.
Yeah.
That there are, I'm sure, other reasons, other, you know, certain obviously deceptions, dishonesties, but in general, like, what happened with, so we're 55
I mean, unless you just, or one of us suddenly picks up some activity that the other one doesn't like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like significant, and becomes a huge
like it impact. Has to be something that would hugely impact our relationship.
Right. So we're 11 years in now. So we met at 44. We're now 55.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say 10 years from now, we're 65. So we're basically 20 years in.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide I just need to be the paintball champion of the world. I'm like, well, babe, I'm going paintballing again because I'm training for the championship. and you're like, I did paintball once or twice, and
I'm never doing paintball ever again.
I know. I'm trying to think of something I know you hated.
Yeah.
And again, it's...
I hate paintball with a passion.
And no shade to paintball. I'm sure it's delightful if that's your
I
thing.
Will never do paintball again.
I've never done paintball. But the
you
reason
don't
I've
want
never
to.
Done paintball is because it's never seemed that interesting to
you
me.
Would not like it.
And it's not... I'm not going to base it. But yeah, so 10 years
from now. I guarantee I can go on record and say... If you took up paintball, we'd have an issue.
Like,
we'd have a problem.
Like I was doing it 4 times a week.
We would have a problem.
Qualify for the nationals.
Yeah, and you trying to participate in paintball tournaments and shit? Oh, hell no.
I'm spending all our extra money to get to the tournaments. And then I'm like, well, basically, if you're not going to come paintballing with me, I don't have time for you.
Wow. Yeah, that would be
an
issue.
That would be us growing apart?
Yeah, that would be us growing apart. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So, if anybody wants to send me some paintball gear.
I am not worried about you going paintball. I know you. You would hate paintball.
Well, fine.
So, I have to say, I guess we didn't really have a one that we disagreed with.
No.
Like, I think, like...
I don't dare to disagree with you. What do I look like, did he? No.
I agree with all of that. It's weird because I think I thought the first one would be like having an affair.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but...
Well, so remember the title is Relationship Issues That Can't Be Fixed, according to a licensed counselor. And of course, there's, you know, a lot of variables in here for all of these, right?
Right.
And
right.
It's not these the only ones.
Yeah.
But I think obviously they're building off of generalizations based on their experience.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, each one of these has a sub-narrative, you know, that we, you know, can, in our minds, apply to our relationship.
Right,
you know,
whether
it's neglecting the small gestures or falling for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, but it's interesting to think about and talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think all of these really, like, wrap up into, like, you just have to communicate with your spouse.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think if you both love each other, and more importantly to me, if you both like each other.
Yeah.
If you're communicating, I don't see why you can't work through any issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a theme I think we've talked about a lot that I'm sure will keep coming up here. Maybe that'll be one of our topics for the next episode is the power of like.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that we focus on. Like, we have recognized in our relationship is really the crux of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that should be the next topic.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And we can explore that a little bit. But yeah, I think a lot of it, communication and how much you care about the relationship ultimately determines how you're going to approach all these situations.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. That's a good article. Thanks, right, babe.
No problem. Well, I guess that may wind
all right,
up this
one
episode.
Down.
Yes, indeed.
But first one's down.
So let's take one last sip to close it out.
One last sip.
One clink.
Cheers, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
Have a sip, y'all. Thank you for tuning in.